Hey guys, welcome to number 256 ever episode of Stuck with Chase. I am Chase Coburn, and today we are back with another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. We are going to react to the Washington Wizards draft. They traded up in the draft to get Bilal Coulibaly, then traded the 35th pick away to Chicago, drafted Tristan Vukcevic at number 42, and then traded away the 57th pick for Patrick Baldwin in this year's draft. So a ton of things happened. We got to break that down. And also a new perspective of the Chris Paul trade as well. We hope you guys do enjoy this episode. If you do, subscribe, follow, share, and view. And let's not waste any time here. Let's get into this.
Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. I am Chase Coburn.
So let's get the elephant in the room out of the way here real quick, and that is that my audio is bad. Sorry about that. My microphone is having some difficulty, so sorry if my audio quality is a little off, but we still have to come here and make this episode because, well, the Wizards made some shocking moves. I mean, let's start off. They traded two way-in-the-future second-round picks to trade up one spot and get Bilal Coulibaly. I am not mad at the trade part. I'm more mad at the player part. Bilal Coulibaly, when I sat here this time yesterday, was not the player I expected to come to DC. He was not. And so I am a little concerned about what he can do, because this is a guy who I am all in for to develop. I think he could be an all-defensive first-team guy for multiple years in his career one day, but I don't exactly have confidence that he can develop an offensive game that is worthy enough of being the number 7 pick in the NBA draft. Now, what I do like about him is that, well, he's got a ton of upside, he's got a ton of skills, and as a rebuilding team, you don't want to take the safe picks. Like, the Wizards are going to try to stay away from the Taylor Hendrickses of the world and the Anthony Blacks of the world now, actually, even though some people still mocked it with the Wizards rebuilding. You want to try to stay away from those low-ceiling, high-floor players and more go high-ceiling, low-floor. But with Coulibaly, I actually think there's a better chance, unfortunately, that he has that floor than his ceiling. And the only reason why I say that is because I think that while you could be a great defensive player, and maybe you could say like a Mikal Bridges, how like maybe he's a great defensive player who develops an offensive game. I just, with what I see from him, I think he has a ton of athleticism. But I don't know if his offensive game can develop in the time that the Wizards, I think, need, which is a few-year window, because then I think they're going to start to compete, you know, kind of starting to, you know, get more, getting more salary cap. They're going to probably start to look to contend. And I don't know if Bilal Coulibaly does that exactly for the team. I mean, it's great, first of all, by the way, that the Wizards have Will Dawkins in here to develop him, because this is an OKC Thunder kind of pick. I mocked him to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I think that this is just a big reason. I think it's just like a really good evidence as to why the Wizards are just trying to draft high-ceiling players and low-floor risky picks, but guys that have a ton of upside. I mean, this is what Dawkins said about him. He said, you know, you get him in the gym and you're like, this is a ball of clay. It could take some time, but from where he went in a short amount of time to where we think he could go, that's the exciting part. We'll embrace that. We'll put resources around him to try to maximize himself. At the end of the day, he has the physical tools, but he's also a very skilled player. Once that comes together, I think he'll have the player we're looking for and the reason why we drafted him so high. I think that pops out right away when you see the 7'2 wingspan for a guard. He's in the 99th percentile for his position in height and the 99th percentile for his position in length. If you take all the measurements and then see him run and jump, he's probably 99th percentile in that too. But with that comes the effort. He's a guy that takes that takes contact and dishes it out on offense and defensively. He can guard on ball, guard off ball. We see him as a guy that we could switch and be versatile. He embraces that. So that's what Dawkins said, and a ton of compliments, and I couldn't agree more. I think between his length and his athleticism, I think Bilal Coulibaly has a ton of potential to turn into an okay offensive player, but I don't know if he could ever turn into a great offensive player where he could be the Wizards' next superstar. And while we're talking about high upside here, I'm not saying your superstar has to be the number 7 pick, but or number 8 pick, whatever it was. Technically 7, 8, whatever you want to say it was. But the point is that I think that the whole point of drafting a high upside in the early first round is that you want a guy who – the whole point of drafting high upside in the first round is that you want a guy who could possibly be your next superstar. And I don't see Coulibaly being able to be that guy with the way his offensive game is developed. So it is a little concerning to me. I'm really excited to bring him to DC. I really want to see what he's got. But there also is a possibility that he stays with Metropolitans 92 next year and develops there, which is interesting because that would mean the Wizards won't even have their first-round pick next year, which I don't really know if that's a great philosophy to success. We've seen this before, and most of the time when you see these guys that want to go back to Europe and stuff like that to try to develop, most of the time it hasn't gone well. So I am a little skeptical of the pick, but I really like the Wizards trying to go a high upside pick, and I'm really happy they didn't really have to give up much to be able to only trade up one spot. So I'm excited to have Coulibaly on the team. I just don't know if he's exactly what I was looking for at number 8 overall when I was looking, but overall, it's better to have a high upside than another Denny Avdia or Corey Kispert guys that will never also reach anywhere close to superstar potential, but instead just be a very consistent player throughout his career. You want to have a guy who has tremendous upside, and I can guarantee you you're getting that with Bilal Coulibaly, and that's probably the best part about him. But then number 35, this was interesting in that the Wizards took Julian Phillips, but then dished him out to Chicago, and the Wizards are getting two future second-round picks for number 35. What I was hoping they would do is draft Andre Jackson, who ended up being picked one pick later by the Milwaukee or Orlando Magic traded to Milwaukee. But I would have liked them to do that. I mean, Julian Phillips is a good player as well. But, I mean, I would have liked to take Andre Jackson, but they're getting two second-round picks. The Wizards may have more second-round picks over the next, like, 10 years than any team ever will have in a 10-year span between all these trades because they continuously keep getting second-round picks. So, yeah, we'll see how that turns out for sure. But, yeah, I understand the move, but I personally would have liked to see the Wizards actually use the number 35 overall pick. But then at number 42, they selected Tristan Vucevic. You may think he's related to Nikola Vucevic. No, that is Vucevic. This is Vucevic. Hopefully you guys understand that difference. So yeah, Vucevic has been a guy who played from Real Madrid, Partizan in Belgrade. He's played for like these overseas teams, and now he's being drafted by the Wizards. And he's a guy who could stretch the floor. He's super tall, 6'10", 220. He's a guy that can easily be one of those like 3-and-D guys in the future, but he's got a ton of potential to be one of the best stretch bigs in basketball at his peak. But as of right now, it looks like he's actually going to go back to Europe next year and play another year, whether it's at Real Madrid or Partizan Belgrade or a team in Europe. It looks like he's going to go back to Europe and kind of be a draft and stash player for the Wizards. If you don't know what a draft and stash is, that's basically someone who's drafted but then is told to go to Europe to develop instead of going to a G League or staying on the NBA roster as a bench warmer. So that is obviously a possibility as well. So, I mean, when you look at a guy like Vucevic, I think I really like a guy with a ton of high upside at number 42. I didn't think the Wizards would get a guy like this at number 42, but you're getting a guy who could easily be your future center as a stretch big. He could shoot the ball. He's a decent rim protector. He's okay defensively. Doesn't really move laterally, doesn't have as much pure athleticism or raw talent, if you will, but I think he has enough talent and potential overall to where he could be, again, one of the best stretch bigs in basketball. So I think the fact that you could possibly get a guy like that at number 42, I mean, the Wizards should be very lucky to have been able to get that. So I'm really happy that Vucevic is going to the Wizards, and I would love to see him kind of like they did with Yannick Nzosa last season. I would like to see him go overseas and develop and then see if he can come back. Maybe we're talking 2025 season, and all of a sudden he could be a key part of the Wizards' future next to Coulibaly and Kispert and Avdija and a ton of other guys as well. But then to cap off the draft, the Wizards did not end up using the number 57 overall pick and instead traded it to the Golden State Warriors for Patrick Baldwin Jr., who was a rookie last year, who was taken in the first round, 28th overall in the 2022 NBA draft. So if you think about it, the Wizards got the 57th pick for a guy who was a first rounder last year. I mean, that's pretty promising, if you ask me. I mean, he didn't do much. Only played 31 games. When he did play, only 7 minutes a game. Only shot 39% from the field, but did score close to 4 points and shot 38% from downtown on close to three-point attempts a game. So obviously, he has some shooting potential. Don't worry about his free throw percentage. He only took 0.2 free throws a game, but he obviously has some shooting potential. He's like a tall wing, and at only 20 and a half years old, I think he could absolutely be a part of the Wizards' future. Again, being a first-round pick last year, only playing 1 year, didn't really have a role in Golden State. Now I think he's going to be playing a ton of minutes with the Wizards next season. And what I'm really liking about this team now, and now I'll break down kind of that Jordan Poole, Chris Paul perspective, is while I do not like that the Wizards are taking on Jordan Poole's contract, and I broke down how Poole is not my favorite player in the world. It's less of the Poole part that I'm mad about, more the contract that I'm mad about. But I also like the Wizards' perspective of trying to bring in a guy like Jordan Poole who could be your point guard long-term. There's no reason to say that Jordan Poole cannot be your point guard long-term. I mean, Jordan Poole is still very young. He is still developing. I mean, if you think about it, before the 2022 season, again, he's just turned 24 the other day, before the 2022 season, I mean, sure, he averaged like 12 points a game, didn't really have as big of a role, but we're looking at a guy who just before COVID shot 33% from the field on 9 attempts a night, and he's continued to get better, continued to improve his efficiency. I still do not think he is going to get much better after this. I will say that. I don't think he's going to get much better, especially with a lack of defensive game. But being a former first-round pick, continuing to get better, I really like the fact also that Jordan Poole could be, not mentoring, but kind of just be a part of this Wizards rebuild. But I just don't know the role he's going to have long-term on the rebuild. Is he going to be someone that they start to build around in 3 or 4 years once he starts to enter his prime? Right, because 27, 28 years old, that should be your prime years of your career. When he starts to enter his prime, is that when they're going to start to, you know, kind of build around him, if that makes sense? Or are they going to go like a different direction and kind of trade or just using him so that they can get future draft capital as well? And something else you got to think about is that total now with this trade, some man I liked it, but you realize you're getting 4 pick swaps from the Suns, and the fact that you get to choose if you want to swap or not, I mean, that's obviously a steal. They can get some of those picks when the Suns are not good, because I'm pretty sure it's 24, 26, 28, and 30 that they're swapping first-round picks. So that will obviously be good for Washington. You're getting Landry Shamet's contract as a rental. You're getting like 6 to 8 first-round. I think you're getting 7 second-round picks, I think it is. And then, again, 4 pick swaps, a protected 2030 first, and Jordan Poole. You're getting all of that for Bradley Beal, Jordan Goodwin, and Isaiah Todd. Overall, when you look at it that way, the Wizards are getting a pretty good haul for Bradley Beal, even though initially it looked like the Wizards were not getting the offer that they may have anticipated or wanted coming in. So I think I really like what the Wizards are trying to do overall. They're trying to get upside. They're trying to build for the future. And it's actually pretty surprising, though, of how they have built this rebuild like in a snap with in under a week. I feel like they already have a big foundation for the rebuild, and I'm very excited to see what the Wizards do. I'm excited to see Bilal Coulibaly in a Wizards jersey. I am super excited to see Tristan Vukcevic overseas and then playing a Wizards jersey, obviously. And then I am excited to see what Jordan Poole can do in D.C., and I am happy that they were able to get someone that could have significant value in a trade or just in the future long-term for a guy like Chris Paul, who it didn't seem like he was going to get much value now that he's 38, close to 39 years old. So, yeah, that will wrap up the episode. I really like what the Wizards are doing. I think the start of this rebuild has been incredible, and it's been great to see what Michael Winger and Will Dawkins have been able to do. And while I wish the Wizards would have kept that pick at number 35 and selected a guy like Andre Jackson, I'm not mad at getting all these first-round picks, because, again, the Wizards now have like 10 second-round picks. So we'll see what that does in the future. But yeah, I am pretty excited to see what the Wizards can do in this rebuild and what they already have done and continuing to build off of what they have done during this rebuild. We hope you guys did enjoy this episode. If you did, subscribe, follow, share, view. Yeah, the content is going to start to slow down over here. I mean, obviously, if Kuzma signs elsewhere, we'll talk about that. The content will start to slow down because we will talk about free agency. But now that the NBA draft over, you're not going to see as many frequent uploads. But still stay tuned for coverage here on Wiz Talk with Chase. Follow me, Twitter, Chase Coburn, @CoolSportsKid. Instagram, Chase_sports_news. Listen, Wiz Talk with Chase, Cool Sports Network. Read Chase on Chase's Sports News, chasesportsnews.com. My newsletter, Cool Sports Newsletter, chasecoburn.substack.com. And please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Sports4Kit, youtube.com/sports4Kit. We got a ton of coverage over there. All right, we hope you guys did enjoy this episode. If you did, subscribe, follow, share, and view. Don't forget to view. And of course, as always, I will see you guys next time. Peace.